Hi, everybody. My name is Ramiro. I'm from Argentina. Thank you, guys. I'll be translating because I think in Spanish. So hope I can get connected with you, share from my heart. This is the biggest place I ever shared. It's super excited. And but I feel more comfortable with you than with everywhere else, like even my family, you know, like I feel good with you right now. I'm gonna, you know, I don't have anything prepared, you know, I'm gonna share my story, you know, I know my story, I know what I experienced, but my experience has changed all over my recovery. So I used to think that I had a good childhood, like nothing was missing. Now I know, you know, that wasn't the case. You know, I'm gonna talk about my relationship with connection and bonding, you know, because even since I was a young boy, I felt guilt and shame all the time. I didn't know what it was, you know. I used to think I had everything. Then we never missed a meal, I think you said that, you know, there was money on the house, but I felt very bad about myself, especially with a lot of shame and guilt, and I was always nervous of doing the wrong thing. My scope of feelings and emotions were super small. You know, I was constrained, right? Then I found, you know, later in life, I realized that that's what happened when you're raised with addicts. You walk on eggshells. And eventually, it was meant to be. You know, I found drugs, and they opened my feelings, and my range of emotions was, you know, like, oh, man, you know, it was the greatest I ever felt. You know, I didn't know I could feel that good, you know. Because, you know, I knew there was more in life than what I was experiencing, which was super small. I lived like in a small cage, you know. I didn't know what, you know, like, there wasn't any understanding, just the feeling of being awkward and always ashamed, right? So drugs were good for a while. But I don't know about you, but I remember exactly the day they stopped working. But I know the date exactly, you know, I know what I experienced, what happened, you know, like, I felt I was going, like, I don't know if insane or enlightened, both at the same time. And I got really scared. It wasn't like I had an OD sometimes, but this was like a super weird experience, you know, and I got frightened, you know. I think I saw stuff from my previous lives. I don't know. Probably. I don't know, you know. But for that day on, drugs never worked again. Never. Like, every time I use anything, it will end up badly. I didn't know what to do. So I never considered stopping as an option. So, you know, although experiencing about those things. But then I met a girl, and I knew it was my ticket out of drugs, because she didn't use, right? And I remember telling my friends, I will be able to stop using that much with her, you know? She will help me, I don't know, like, we fell in love, like, right away, right? But I couldn't stop using. And she started to get annoyed by that, you know, I promise a lot, lie a lot, and then it got bad, you know? So we did what we had to do, which was to get married. Yeah, that was the reasonable thing to do, you know? So we did that, and it was a huge party, you know, and everything, you know? And on our honeymoon, she locked herself in the room crying, realizing that she has just married an addict, you know, crying all night long, you know, like lock herself. That was my honeymoon. That's how it started, man. So that was the day I knew I had to stop, you know, that was it, you know, like, she made me understand I had a problem. You know, it wasn't possible to be that more clear than that. And I told her, this time I will really get help. I will do whatever it takes. I will do whatever it takes. And I went online, searched for options. This was the easiest, NA, you know. It was free, you know. And a guy here picked up the phone. I didn't know it was him, but he was doing the phone line thing. I went to my meeting, and I knew I found my people, man. I found my people. This was exactly what I was looking for, man. This was what I needed, you know. I could see people living what I wanted, you know, outside the cage that I was in. Outside, they could share stuff, you know. They say, oh, is that possible? Is it possible to be that honest about what happened to you? I didn't know it was possible. And so I was so excited about it, you know, like, I was on heaven. And so I came every day and talked to my wife about what I was experiencing, you know, and I got the chips, and they were like, I don't know, like Olympic trophies for me, man. Like, yeah, 30 days! Like, I was in heaven, you know, with those chips. And, you know, but the wife started to be, yeah, you really got to go every day, you know, all those sort of things. And we did the next good thing when things got bad is we look for a child, you know. So she got pregnant, and I figured that there was a life I could never access to, you know, in terms of what other people were doing, you know, like, a house, a car, you know, like that life. I had like this mental picture of what it would look like. So I went right to that, you know, like work like crazy, get the house. You know, my wife's belly was getting bigger, and I got so nervous about not having nothing for him, you know, like, what would I do with that, you know? And I did it, you know, like I bought the house, you know, in recovery. I got the dog, you know, for the picture. You know, you need a dog for the picture, right? A golden retriever. Very, very white shit to do. sorry. I'm looking at these brothers right here, so I understand how white I'm sounding, right? I'm sorry. So it was even a gated community where people opened the gate, you know. It was like that, you know. And I made fun of it because it was so fucking stupid to live like that, man. So fucking stupid, man. But I was chasing that dream, man. But my marriage was going to hell. I didn't know why. Like, I was in the meeting, and my heart was calm. It was at peace. And I got home. And it was hell, man, hell, like even inside of me. So I didn't understand what's going on. Like, I had a house, I had the car, I had the fucking dog, you know, and it wasn't working at all. Everything was going to pieces. And she said, man, I don't, you know, like, what? So we went to therapy, and the therapist says that, well, in here you will find out if you are both meant to be with each other. And apparently we weren't, right? So, and she said, I had to be honest with you. You know, I knew about your step working. I read your fourth step. And so the therapist said, oh, that might be a good thing. All the cards are on the table. I said, no, motherfucker, my cards are on the table. Never mind that, you know, we got, you know, so I had to leave the house. I got it in A with an apartment, and, you know, I had a few things, but that day, you know, I was, like, homeless without anything, you know, no car, no house, anything. I went to an apartment, and I felt good, man. Small apartment, you know, it was a bathroom. It wasn't an apartment, just a bathroom. And I was free. I didn't know what it was, but my heart was like, oh, this is what peace looked like. I was at peace, man. And so I started to share with people that had the same experience that me in recovery, and their wife ended up in Aranon, and they got together eventually because of fucking codependency stuff, and I was hoping to get my wife back. And I went to, so every weekend I went to pick up my son. You know, he was growing up, you know, like it was a child then, you know, like still with diapers. And I went on the weekends to pick him up to the gated community for white people. One day, the fucking guy on the gate, he didn't open the gate for me. What's going on? I can't open the door, but this is like private property. I own the property. No, man, I don't. Come, I know you for years, you know. So I had to tell you, your wife left with another man. Your house is empty. There's nobody in there. What? And I didn't know. You know, like it was like the worst thing that ever could possibly happen. You know, my son was there. You know, like. And so I called my sponsor, and nobody picked up the phone. And I didn't know what to do. My first thought was, like, where do I get a gun, man? So, and but some guy from the fellowships said, Rami, it's going to be okay. This will make sense. Really? When, you know? So eventually she picked up the phone and said, oh, I didn't know how to tell you, but I was dating someone. I decided to go live with the guy. And really? You know, like, we just got separated. Our newborn was on diapers. So I get, okay. Don't worry. So I go to meetings, you know, and pray a lot, you know, and didn't understand what's going on. I didn't understand what was going on. She started to talk about signing the papers for the divorce and really fast, like super fast. You know, like I wanted to do this. I don't know if you've been to this position, but sometimes you just trust your life to another member, right? You just tell him. Tell me what to do. I don't know what to do, man. I'm lost. So people from the fellowship keeps telling me, you do this, then you do that, then you pick up the phone, you do it like this. So every weekend, I went pick up my son to another man's house, you know, and wait in the door for him to come to see me, to, you know. So I hugged him. My heart was when I was with my son, and I went to the meeting and asked the next guy, what can I do now, you know? And I was thinking, this will make sense eventually. I don't know how, but one day it was summer, and my wife was with a huge coat, like huge. And it was really hot for that coat, you know. She had a belly like this, you know, like she was pregnant with this guy. That's why they got together and moved together, right? And I remember feeling like disgust, you know, like my stomach was like when you saw, like, I don't know, like something disgusting, you know, like I wanted like to puke, you know, seeing that belly, you know. Okay, so acceptance, you know, spiritual principles, you know, took place. I didn't murder anybody. thank you. Accomplishments, man, accomplishments. She was not with a child, but with two childs. They were twins, right? The twins were born, and I couldn't remember their names. They tell me all the time. They keep telling me what their names were. I couldn't remember them. Like completely denial about the reality of what was fucking going on there, you know? So, again, I went weekends to pick up my son. I parked the car. The kid went crazy, like, "Papi, papi, papi," and hugged me, and we took off. But those fucking twins got older and started to run like my son, telling "papi, papi, papi," and climbing on my fucking... They were climbing like this, and I was like, "Get the fuck out, man!" But they got so excited to see me, you know, like those kids, you know, the fucking twins, like, "Get the fuck out, man!" Okay, and this, you know, my heart started to you know, like, soften. Thank you, man. Thank you. They won me over. The fucking twins won me over. The love that I have for those guys right now, you know? And now, you know, like, and so on the other hand, you know, like, My ex-wife came from a very religious, Catholic family, so everybody was upset with her. Nobody was talking to her. I forgot to mention, the guy he got pregnant with was the boyfriend of her best girlfriend, right? Yes. You know, when you don't have principles, you know, that's... like me, you know? Right? So she, you know, from one day to the other, she got with no family, no friends, nobody. Just the twins, the guy. And I was doing my ninth step, my first ninth step. And I got to the point where I got all the fucking things I've done to this woman, reading, and my sponsor said, you know, that there's no way you don't have to do any amends to her right now, you know, like, there's no point in doing amends right now to her, you know. I said, okay, you know, you know, just not killing her was a challenge for me. So the twins got bigger, and you know, and they won me over. You know, those kids won me over. You know, and I was so poisoned with anger, and I felt even way more highly and morally superior to her, right? Because everybody was looking at the poor guy who got, you know. and that which was me. And it was good, you know. And I even thought, you know, that this is like, you know, I can do it. But it gave me freedom. It gave me some freedom because, you know, like, she's doing whatever she wants. Like, I can do whatever I want, you know. Like, so then for the first time in my life, I was able to choose what I wanted to do with my life. You know, like, she gave me permission to live the way I wanted, you know. So I decided I'm not ready for amends, but I'm ready for forgiveness. I'm sorry. Thank you. And thank you. I'm back. Don't count this time for me, please. I didn't want to live with all this anger and poison in me, because it felt good, you know. I don't know why. It's like I can do like and live, you know, like I can, you know, like she's below me, and I can like look at her like she's the worst, and you know, like I went to her house and looked with disgust, like everything, like, oh, this is so bad, you know, this is so morally wrong, you know. This is and it didn't felt good, you know, because when I'm in a meeting and somebody came for the first time, you teach me to hug the guy, man, to give him a hug, a coffee, you know. But I went to her house to judge her, you know. That was nowhere to live, you know, and so forgiveness was like another level of freedom, you know, I got, you know. And I told her, you know, don't feel bad, you know. We're good. You know, you live your life, I will do my thing, you know, we're good. And we have a really good relationship. And those twins love me like I'm the greatest thing on earth. How much time I got? I'm good. Okay. So, one of the first things I've done is to, because I didn't know how to live without a crazy woman on my side, you know. I was very used to that, you know, to being told, you know, like to, there are no women here. Well, I'm seeing one, but they're not supposed to be women, so. Second row on the right. Okay, no, it's okay. I don't know. You're not supposed to think in genders in America or something like that. Well, so but this is a men's meeting. Okay, so, well, I was very used to live, you know, and being told what to do, how to do it, what I'm doing wrong, you know. But this time I was free, you know, like nobody was telling me what to do. Not even my sponsor, you know, nobody is telling me what to do. I didn't know how to live, what to choose, you know, where to go, how to spend my money with, you know, like. So what I did is this. I've been in war conventions since I'm clean. So, yeah. So I bought a plane to Rio, to the World Convention in Rio. That was my first. And I felt like in heaven. You know, I didn't know this was so amazing, that it was so big, you know, like people from all over the world, you know, hugging, you know, like this is way bigger than what I have imagined as a fake rock star to when I was using, you know, like way more excited, you know, like there was no way I could be there on a stage like this, you know, when I was using. So it was like heaven, I remember we went to the beach in Rio de Janeiro. We were a lot of really close friends, you know, and we were taking pictures, you know, so I started to, I don't, you know, when you float on your back on the ocean. And I remember to feel so connected to God, you know, now. And I knew everything was in place, right? It didn't last long. I almost died, man. So when I realized that I was way deep in the fucking ocean, you know? Like way deep. But I'm a good swimmer. I'm gonna give it my best shot, you know? I started to swim. And I got tired, you know, but the shore was getting smaller. Oh, no, I have to keep on doing that, man. I'm going to do it in my best shot, you know. I was a little bit tired, but this is under control. Everything is under control. I'm going to give it a faster swing, but I give it my best. And then the people started to look like ants.
Have you been in that position?
Oh my God, man. And I say, what the fuck? all this, you know, like my son, the recovery, you know, the fucking God, you know, what? I'm gonna die, man. I'm gonna die. But I didn't want to think like that, you know. I thought if I give it a good shot, I will be okay. But you know the waves that I saw on the shore weigh like I don't know what super huge the one that hit me the first time almost drowned me, and then I knew you know there was nothing I can do, so it was all lost for me, really like water inside, you know. So I started to wave. There was no, you know, like there was no hope, you know. People were like this. And the same guy that picked the phone line appeared in the fucking ocean and saved my life, man. Yeah. But there it is, that guy, that motherfucker right there. I bought her his ticket here, so you know it's true, you know? Otherwise, you'll see me full of shit, you know? So he's here. He picked the phone and he took me from the ocean. He saved my life twice. Thank you, guys. You are the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I love you with all my heart. You, please keep coming back, man. I'm Ramiro, I'm an addict, thank you.
They set you up.
Yeah,
man,
so look
at that. I see it.
Georgia. My name's Chris, I'm an addict. Oh, man, I'm, thank you, I'm overwhelmed. Man, there's so many, hang on, whoa. Emotions come, man, and it's like I got this shirt on. This is Rick H. Shout out if you know Rick H. I love you, Rick. You know, like this topic of the power of love and building brotherships and bonds, and this is my guy, man. We were supposed to be at this convention together. He died clean. He would have had 36 years clean. He kept the promise of Narcotics Anonymous. There's a big difference between dying with this disease and dying from this disease. We were so excited to come to this convention together. This was my guy, man. We smuggled literature, We smuggled literature to Cuba together, man. He was that kind of addict, right? He was from Boston. He was from Boston. Chill out, Boston. All right. No, look. That's the power of Narcotics Anonymous, that a kid from Los Angeles could connect from a cat, could connect with a cat from Boston, right? And that the power of Narcotics Anonymous could bring us together. And like it says in there, that like the stakes are higher, right? The connections get stronger. And because our connections are stronger, it's because our stakes are higher. That like still after all these years, he would have 36 years this past June. He always reminded me that he had more clean time than me and prayed me into these rooms. You know, and I come from like anybody but the green guys, you know what I mean? Like I'm from LA, and like we had this power of love that only you could find in Narcotics Anonymous. We had this power of bond. We had this power of like, we understood what's at stake for us. We understood that the disease is still coming to get us. It doesn't matter. It doesn't take a foot off our neck because we got 30 plus years clean. It's still coming. It still whispers. It's still insidious. It's still deadly. It's still coming for us. It's whispering our name. It comes in different forms. It comes in different ways. And like, we always have to stay connected. And he was my guy, you know, and I haven't shared about it a lot. He passed away in March, and he went to the hospital for a standard procedure. And 30 days later, he had moved on. And like to see the way Narcotics Anonymous shows up for people, to see the way we treat each other, to see Anthony with all this clean time, like rushing back to get him because Rick said he wanted to be buried with an infinity chip. That like that's what Narcotics Anonymous is about. Like it's a big deal to die clean. It's a big deal to keep the promise. It's a big deal to show other people that you can do it, man. And he had some moments of lucidness. And then when in that moment, he said, I don't want to live that way. I want to die clean. I want to die clean, and I want to die with some dignity. And this is who I am. And I got to get invited to do different things. Like, this was not supposed to be part of all of this. And I got to just tell you, man, like, I love you, Rick, man. And I know you're here with me. We were so excited to see Earthquake. Like, he was my guy. We would be smoking together. We'd play dominoes together. He ain't no good at dominoes. Still ain't no good at dominoes. Yeah, man, we did this thing. And so many other people along the way have helped me. And so many other people along the way have... God, I love Narcotics Anonymous. I got clean at 14 years old. I strolled into a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, and I was done. I know I had used enough. I know my dreams were shattered. I had no hope. I had been arrested multiple times. I don't care about, like, you know, I was getting in this discussion, like, and I understand that it's important for the newcomer to identify, but I don't have a really sexy story. I got clean at 14. I used whatever I could get my hands on. I was homeless. I slept wherever I could sleep. It got progressively worse. How much more do I need? See, I got clean in 1989. I got clean in an era when, it's crazy about youth in recovery, and you're hearing people, like, you would never hear anyone say, oh, you're black, you can't get clean. Oh, you speak Spanish, you can't get clean. But in Narcotics Anonymous meetings, you would hear people say, you are too young to be here. In Narcotics Anonymous, people, you would hear people say, I spilt more dope than you used. In Narcotics Anonymous, you would hear people say, go out and get a real story. You would hear people say, I've been to the penitentiary longer than you've been alive. I was shooting dopes before you were thought of. And I got to tell you, real rap, this isn't coming from ego. What if I would have listened to that message? What if I would have went out? What if I would have said, NA isn't for me? What if I would have said NA isn't the right spot for me? Because I was battling this, telling me, man, you could go out, get high for another 10 years, come back, and these fools will still be calling you young Chris, right? I'm gonna tell you what would happen, and I know, and this isn't coming from ego, it's coming from an understanding of freedom, and it's coming on the one side of the coin is freedom, on the other side is responsibility, is that because I stayed, I know I've changed people's lives. Because I have stayed, I have helped people stay clean, get clean. I've been the first call. Have you been here long enough to be the first call? Do you know what the first call is? Chris, I'm thinking about getting high. Chris, I'm thinking about getting clean. Chris, I'm thinking about getting a divorce. Chris, I'm thinking about getting married. Chris, I'm thinking about going back to school. Chris, I'm thinking about leaving school. That's the first call. Have you been here long enough that you are that person in somebody's life that you're gonna be the first call? Stay here long enough so that you're the first call. That you're the first call, that you are so important to someone's life that they have to share it with you first. They need to get that information from you first before anybody else. They don't want to hear what the other suckers got to say. I got to hear it from Chris first. I got guys who believe in me. They tell me that we're still watching you. I love you, Jerry Johnson. Jerry Johnson was in my very first meeting. Thank you. He was high, but that's okay. He was there. Boom. I mean, like, I tell stories. I mean, full circle. Full circle. How are you going to go from years? I've had three sponsors in my life. My first sponsor, 18 months. He moved out of state, ended up out of the city, ended up getting high and battling this disease back and forth, and we buried him years later, but back and forth. He got about 8 years clean, and then back and forth. Anyways, he moved on. You know the story. My second sponsor, yo, he started telling me, shit, man, I wasn't going to mention his name. Ugh. He got a shout out. Yo, Steve. Damn it. Damn. Randy, I was going to go try and go to the whole meeting, not mention his name. Anyhow, they would ask me, all right, dude, can you do youth and recovery? Can you do youth and recovery? And you know, at first it would be like, yeah, I'll share about youth and recovery. I'm excited. I'm on fire for Narcotics Anonymous. I love Narcotics Anonymous. And then like, I'm 40. Can you do youth and recovery? Bruh, I've been clean, you know, 20-something years. I'm 40. I don't relate to the youth. I got more of a story than that. Here, full circle, and now I'm doing the men's meeting. I'm doing the men's meeting in Washington, D.C. You understand? I got clean a kid. I got clean a kid, and now I get to speak in front of men. I get to speak in front of all these stallions, right? I get to speak in front of all these brothers, all these people who have, over the years, shown me. And there's too many people, right? There's too many people, and I don't like to name drop, but I do like to name drop because I understand that the reason why I'm here 100% is not because of just me. I am on the shoulders of addicts who've walked before me, who've carried this message, who opened doors. I got clean August 14th, 1989, right? August 14th, 1899. That was after a relapse. I come back after a relapse. I understand that people protected me. You guys have always made me feel like an MVP. You never made me feel like a rookie, right? The people who got me in a corner, you made me feel like an MVP right away. And they would protect me. They would say, no, come on over here, man. Don't listen to that fool. And the women would protect me. They say, come here, baby. Come here. Stand behind me. Right? You better not talk to him like that. And then I started understanding you were pouring love into me. You were pouring this fucking love into me, man, and you were giving me the hope, and you made me feel like maybe I could do it. And I didn't understand the purpose. I don't understand, why does God have me here so young? I don't want to be here, man. I want to be out and I want to be getting laid like with like some really good looking women, not NA women in 1990. I was just saying, that's like real. I was 15. Hey, listen, hey, this is my story, this is my time. You tell your story on another time, but you could pull all the women together in one room, there'd be one set of teeth. And listen, hey, I'm 15, I'm 16. This is 1990. It's 1991, 92. I'm in high school. I'm taking buses to meeting. I'm ditching schools to go to Nooners. You understand? I'm ditching school to go to Nooners because there was more going on at the Nooner than, you know, a geography. Y'all would look at me and be like, what is wrong with you? Get your ass back to school. You all protected me. You embraced me. You loved me. You built me up. I started understanding maybe this is the reason why, because people started coming up to me and saying, man, I had a son. I had a son and I lost contact with him. I had a son and I lost contact with him. I don't know where he is. It really warmed my heart to see you at the meeting every week, Chris. And then I started thinking, okay, that makes sense. That checks out. And then I would be getting relationships with women who were older than me and like my sisters, like my moms and my aunts in my recovery who would protect me and did stuff that my mom could never do for me in the sense of like caring and show me compassion and show me love. Like I come from a broken home. Like it was a broken home. I come from a divorced family. My brother's a convict, right? You know, my information is all twisted. My father was homosexual. He died early in the 80s, right? You know, he died from AIDS, right? And there was so much hush-hush around it. And no one hugged me. No one told me anything. I was filled with hate and anger and rage and used anything and everything that I could get my hands on at 12 years old. Anything. I committed to that lifestyle, committed to dying. I didn't give a shit. My brother's already starting to go into youth authority in prison, and I was okay with following in the footsteps. I wanted to outdo him. I wanted to show him what it was really like, right? I wanted to make him proud in those ways, right? And then I come here, and I'm just filled up with this love. It's unbelievable. I come back here, and I realize, oh, this is why, right? It will all make sense. Bro, man, what a powerful statement, Romero. It will all make sense one day. Right? And you don't need to understand right now. The thing about Narcotics Anonymous is that sometimes when you're hearing something, you are not supposed to understand it there. That's a message for later. But if you don't stay, if you don't keep coming back, you're not going to understand. You're not going to let that fruit fully blossom. Right? There's a, you know about a tree, right? A tree grows in two directions at one time. That the deeper you go down in the dark, in the muck, in the right, and it's not pretty down there. It's cold, it's damp. Nobody's looking down there. Nobody's underneath, nobody's looking. But that's the work that you have to do down there to grow bigger up here, right? If you want to get bright out here, you got to go down deep. You better understand that you got to do push-ups in the dark, right? You got to do push-ups when nobody's looking. Right, you got to be able to commit to yourself in that moment. You got to commit to God in that moment and say, "Can I get through this?" And believe that you can. Will you help me through this? And there's going to be moments. It's coming. We used to say, "Don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle doesn't happen." Right? Don't leave 5 minutes before the miracle. Sometimes that miracle takes 10 years. Sometimes that miracle takes 15 years. Sometimes that miracle takes 8 years to finish school, but it's coming. But the key is not that there's a miracle coming. The key is don't leave. Don't leave. Please don't leave. And then what happens? They started coming back to me and telling me, man, whoa, I need you here, Chris. I need you here. I don't want you here. I need you here. A guy told me, Rick M., right, another one of my predecessors who died clean, he pulled me aside maybe 60, 70 days, 90 days, very young in recovery. I was in high school. I didn't know what he meant. He pulled me up. Jimmy knows him. You know, Yo knows him. Jerry knows him. You know, Rick would do stuff like this, right? He pulled me up and he would say, "Hey, listen here, man." He said, "There's an addict." You know, he was a super gangster. You know, he talking that voice, right? He would say, "There's an addict whose recovery depends on your message." Boom, and walk away. Damn, Rick, why you do me like that? What does that mean? What does that mean, Rick? That means that I fully understand that what people have gone through to get to this spot, to build Narcotics Anonymous to what it is today, the people who came before me, the Beavers, and all these people who carried the message, who loved me unconditionally, who shared their life with me, opened their homes to me, fed me, bought me packs of cigarettes along the way. Like, I had nothing. I had fucking nothing. I had nothing. I had you. I had Narcotics Anonymous, and I had a hope. I just had a little bit of hope. I would watch people and go, okay, maybe that could work for me too. I love history. I'm a history guy. I studied history in school. Fun fact. My home group is Tuesday Night Solutions. It's in North Hollywood. It's a fantastic meeting. That meeting is, it used to be an old American Legion hall. So you can imagine it's the size of the stage, the main meeting room. It was an American Legion hall, and then there was a fire later, and then it became a church. I looked up, I talked to the pastor, I did the reverend, I did some reading on it. But the most special part about this home group is that it was the location of the Second World Convention in 1972. And it was a meeting, it's as big as this stage. I'm blessed because I'm from Southern California. I'm blessed because we have the history. I'm blessed because we have so many people who are, you know, who were pivotal in carrying the message to new areas in the region, or people who wrote letters, or people who answered H&I calls from penitentiaries all over the country. Like, we're very blessed there to have that access, to hear this information, to understand this information. But to think that the World Convention fit in that room in 1972, to now walk around here in Washington, D.C., and to see as many thousands of addicts that we have here who love Narcotics Anonymous, to see, right, to see that full vision, right, to see that full circle, right, to go every Tuesday, we show up every Tuesday, we get there early to set up chairs and do all that, to see, man, you look around that room and it's packed at 150 people. Like, you couldn't get another person in at 150. That was the size of the Second World Convention in my home group, that I get to step put on these hollow grounds. These are the Bob B's and Jimmy K's, all these monsters, and who were on that floor, because through the fire, the floor survived. Everything else burnt down, but that floor survived, right? So I know that this is where addicts stood before me, to see this vision all the way through, right? To see what's happening here. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I support the World Service. I don't buy that bootleg shit. I don't knock the hustle. Hey, I understand the hustle, but I tell you what, go to a third world nation and hand literature to a fucking addict and he cries because you're handing him literature, because they don't got our literature. So every time you buy something, that you're taking away the literature to a still suffering addict somewhere else. Believe that. Go to a third world country that doesn't have our literature. And know that when you spend money there, it's not getting sent up to the places that Jimmy had originally envisioned it to go to. Understand that. There's a bigger thing at play. I didn't come to Narcotics Anonymous to understand it was just all about me. I was so selfish and self-centered. Everything was about me and what I could get out of it. Motherfuckers coming here 25 years clean and you're still talking about the penitentiary. And that's great, man. I'm proud that you're not in the penitentiary. Please let your story evolve. Please stop. Please give me something more. Please give me something more than gate money. I don't care about your gate money. You want it? It happens here. It's all here. You want to go back to school? We've done it. You want to get a doctorate degree? We've done it. You want to get married? We've done it. You want to get divorced? He's done it. Like, it's good. We know how to do everything. You want to invest? You want to invest in a sure shot? Invest in Narcotics Anonymous. It's better than a 10% return. Invest here. Invest in Narcotics Anonymous. The pay will come back triple-fold. Way better than the stock market offers. I promise you. And every time you get further away and further away, like my life gets busy, everything gets great, everything gets... The first thing to go is Narcotics Anonymous, and the very thing that saves me. How much time I got? I got stories. Bob B, you guys might not know who Bob is. I love Bob. Bob B said, he told me, sit in one, when you go to a convention, newcomers, listen up. When you go to a convention, sit in one place. Don't be walking around. If you walk around and you're constantly with the herd, right, no one's going to see you. Stay in one place. And then the herd will stop by, they'll peel off and they'll start hugging you. So you see everybody at the convention. Man, I was so excited. It was Southern Cal, it was in Pasadena. That's my home region. I was excited for the convention. It was actually in Los Angeles. I was excited, it was close to home. I was getting hyped up. You know, I'm like, I've been going to conventions a long time. I'm the I love convention kind of guy, right? Like I registered at 6 a.m. for the world. That's the kind of guy. I got 35 years clean. I'm still gonna be that guy. This is the power. I've experienced this enough to understand what it could do. I've been here long enough to understand that a single convention, a single meeting, a single workshop, a single fucking hug can change your entire trajectory and life. So I'm hyped up, I'm ready to go. I got about 14, 15 years clean. I put all my stuff together. I'm only traveling about 20 minutes, 15 minutes from where I was living to Pasadena Convention. So then I'm putting everything together. All my shit is sharp, I'm ironing up. I got all my shoes, I got everything lined up. I zipper it up, I'm gonna go there. I hit the lobby. It was probably a 3-day convention, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They weren't doing the speaker jam then, right? So I show up early Friday like I'm supposed to do, let everybody see me, the great Chris G, right? You know, so I'm gonna get there early and wave to my people, right? Because Bob Tommy's sitting one place, so everyone's walking by. Oh, hey, Chris, hey, how are you? Before they didn't know my name, now I got 15 years, everyone remember me, everyone loving me now. I said, man, I tell Yo, and there's a whole group of us. I said, man, I'm gonna go grab a bite. I'm hungry. So I slide into the cafe. Yep. She walked by. Big hair, big ass. Fairy dust coming out of her ass. She comes up and says, how are you? I said, Daddy's hungry. This is what God, she said, well, mommy's here to feed you. I said, what time are you off? I stayed in there about 3 hours. I didn't go to one meeting. She followed me home Friday night. I didn't go to one meeting the rest of, not one single meeting. Had all my shit crispy, lined up, laced up, packed up. I had my pre-reg. I had the dance. I had the comedy. I had the banquet. I had it all bought. I was fairy dust, big hair, boom. Friday night, let's go. Tuesday, she was living with me. Bam! And you get clean long enough, you got ammunition to push back the haters. Hey, y'all get clean with who you want to get clean with. I'ma get clean with who I want to be clean with. Chris, you didn't go to one meeting. Mind your own business, man. I got 20, I got 15. How many years you got? You know, that arrogance sets in? That arrogance, like, you know, like what, my service matters because of time clean, but I ain't stacked a chair in how many months? So Tuesday, she was fine. She moved in, everything was great. She was beautiful, big hair, everything was looking great. I didn't even notice nothing. There were zero problems. No problems. Thursday, I gotta tell you something. Okay, well, I'm with it. You know, I'm in God recovery. I've been equipped to handle all of these situations, right? Like God has given me the experience through the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. Kick it, come on. She says, I got a son. I'm super bachelor. Open up my refrigerator, what's in it? Baking soda, that's it. I got baking soda. I order every meal. I go out for every meal. Big hair, big ass, fairy dust. How old is he? Well, this would be a perfect opportunity to carry the steps in a way that God has positioned you. You could mold and shape this young man to places and spots never dreamed of. We're all a little happy family, you know, 10 days later. I got him a little, you know, I don't know nothing about nothing. I put a little corner. I'm like, all right, that's his spot. I mean, I'm 30. I know shit. I said, that's your spot. She says, no, he needs space. And then, oh, okay, all right. Her hair is getting smaller. I go to work, I come back, this motherfucker had written all over my walls, I had the fly spot, you know, I said, oh man, her ass is shrinking. Hair, oh my God, what am I gonna do? You know, now, yeah, fairy dust is gone. That's just like poof, poof. That shit used to shoot out. And now it's poof, poof. I'm thinking now I'm starting to panic. Now the steps are going from offense to defense, right? God, what have I done? How can I do this? How can I get out of this? What power do I have to... But bring, bring. Yeah, hello? Hello? This is at a... Remember, this all started at the Southern California Committee. Hello? Yeah, who's this? What are you calling my phone, fool? Who's this? This is so-and-so. Whoa, 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 whoa. You got my woman and kid over there? I said, I damn do. Yes, I do. And I thought I had some. I ain't worried. I'm getting ready to tell them where to meet me. Come on. She's running around the corner. Stop. Stop. Motherfucker, what? I got this. Wait. Stop. He will fuck you up. I said, like, bro, yeah, so whatever you want. She goes, he's an ex-Golden Glove boxer and will fuck you up. She was so confident in his ability to whoop my ass. It would happen so fast. I was like, brother, we need to talk about this. Like, I've learned through the steps. Like, you don't know the steps, brother, but I'm just telling you, I abide by some spiritual principles. So through communication, I have found we can work anything out, right? Like you go first, okay? I'll hear you, and then you hear my side, and that shit happens fast, right? But the lesson is go to meetings at conventions, I guess, right? Yeah, go to meetings when you're at the convention. Go to meetings when you're at the convention. Yeah, that one worked out okay, because we all got away. The kids stopped riding on the walls. But I'm a sucker for I like romance stories. I didn't know that. I like romance stories. And I'm good on time? 5, okay, cool, I'll end it here. So I was walking down the street, it's a few years later. You know, I'm from LA, and in LA, you know, you got to be. I come from the era where you don't text, right? You got to be able to. You got to be able to jib. You got to be able to talk. You got to be able to go up, right, and say, "Hey, my name is Chris," and you got to be able to spit. And if you can't spit, she gone. Right, so you got to get them fast. And I saw her walking down the street. Same thing. She had big hair. Yeah, big ass. She was a teeny little thing. She looked, black and Puerto Rican. I could just tell right away she's from the East Coast. And I'm thinking, this is my flavor. You know, like the disease has a way of convincing you, of talking you in your own language, a way of manipulating, a way of what's the word of justifying all of your actions in the moment. And the idea here is that the relationship with the God of your understanding, the relationship with your sponsor, Ralph P., my sponsor, I love you. Thank you so much for constantly guiding me, always sitting. Look, man, I got a sponsor who still sits in the front row for me. You understand? Like, that's the power of brothers, the brotherhood of sitting there and guiding me and leading me, man. That means something to me, right? I got 35 years clean. I took 35 years last 2 weeks ago, August 14th, man. And the guy calls me, he calls me. He sits in the front row for me. He roots for me. He's my cheerleader. He drives for me. He'll buy my lunch. He'll buy my breakfast. Whatever it is, like, that's the kind of love we have. And that's, I hope you have that with your sponsor. I hope that after 35 years, 40 years clean, you still have that relationship with your sponsor, that he's still your biggest cheerleader. I don't need haters in my life. I don't need him in my life, because these are the guys that you're going to go to. He's the first call. He's the guy. He's my first call. You understand? He's my first call. So I met her walking down the street, and she says, hi, and I said hi, and I got to give her the quick game because we're walking down the street. That's the era I come from. And right away, boop, boop, boop. And this one was different, man. This one was after I had prayed to God. I had prayed to God. I want something more. I want something more heartfelt, right? And I believe in a love story, right? It was amazing until it wasn't. That's the truth. That's the truth, right? And that's how it always goes. It's amazing till it's not. And I know there's some maintenance along the way, but I want to get to the ending. I mean, we have such similar stories, as we always do in recovery. There's so many similar stories that we have. This is why we don't need to seek anywhere. In my opinion, I don't need to seek too much anything from the outside, because it's all here. I've heard it before. I'll see it before. And if I haven't seen it yet, it's coming. The message is coming, that God will give it to me, right? So, it was an incredible, it was incredible until it wasn't. It was incredible until, she really got tired of my lifestyle, and it was incredible until I realized that I was compromising my principles in a marriage, and that you should never compromise your principles, right? That your principles are your principles, and you are who you are in that sense. And there's change is possible, and I understand all that. But, when she comes to you and says, I'm not in love with you anymore, and it shatters your story. I had an NA story. We met walking down the street. We have two beautiful kids together. They're healthy. They're happy. Everyone is great. Why would you want to mess this up? Why would you want to end this? Why would you want to do that? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know that you're part of a bigger plan and story? But I didn't understand that, like God's story is not always going to be the same as mine. It's like always constantly, like we come together and then come apart and come together. And I didn't know that God had a different plan for me. And when she tells you it's over, it's over. And that's what I've learned. And I'm grateful for everything that happened. I'm grateful that I tried to reconcile. Because I'm a father now. Narcotics Anonymous has turned me into a father, and I need to think like a father. Narcotics Anonymous has taught me to live just for today, but it's also okay to think with plans. It's also okay to think outside of what is the impact that this is going to have on my children in years to come. And I needed to be able to tell my kids that Daddy did everything in his power to make it work. If that conversation ever comes up, I get to do that. Where I learned that from? Beaver. You know what Beaver said? Keep your side of the street clean, Chris. Keep your side of the street clean. What does that mean when you got 30 days clean, when you got 60 days? I didn't know, but I didn't know that 30 plus years later that was going to resonate the way it resonated then, that I have to keep my side of the street clean and go with as much grace as possible. I called her up and said, man, what's happening? I can't believe this is happening. He says, don't fight it. What do you mean, don't fight it? I'm Chris G. I got clean in 1989. I had a story. It was a love story. I met her walking down the street. All these things had to happen. All the synchronicity happened to be here, right here in this moment. He says, don't fight it. Lean into it. I don't want to lean into it. He says, you have to lean into it. He says, you're the leader no matter what. You've always been the leader of the family, and you're the leader now. I said, I don't want to be the leader. He says, you have to be the leader. I said, why? He says, because you got 12 steps in your life. You are the leader. So the divorce, how the divorce goes is going to be how you work the steps. How the divorce goes is how well you're going to apply the principles. I don't want to apply the principles. I want to fight. I want to argue. I want to win. He says, what can you win? What are you going to win? Give her everything. Fight for nothing. I said, man, I can't stand this sponsor. Said, okay, I'm going to do it, but I'm taking that waffle maker. It was a good one. It was like a Macy's waffle maker, Belgium. Flip, 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 boom, come out crispy, perfect. Like it was that one movie, whatever, Will Smith took something, the blender, he took the blender. I'm taking this waffle maker. I gave her everything, I didn't fight anything. I moved in with my kids, I had empty, nothing. 30 plus years clean. This is not supposed to be happening. I got 30 years clean. I got 30 years clean. People all over the country know me, love me, have rooted for me, cheered for me, believe in me. I can't get this woman who I have kids with to work on this. I can't get a woman who I've been with for 10 years now work on this. She was done. And you gotta learn to let go. Sometimes when you grip so tight, you hold so fucking tight, when you find the release, there's nothing in there. You're holding on to an idea. I was just holding on to an idea. That shit has flown. The shit was gone. I was the one holding. I was trying to grip and control something that was way out of my control. God gave me a nice, gentle look. It's going to be okay. It was like Georgette when I walked up the stairs of Monday Night Madness, and I said, man, I'm going to go get high. She said, don't do it, baby. I love you, baby. Just stay here. Just stay one more meeting. Get high later. That's what they used to tell me. They say, well, get high later. I wanted to leave, and you guys poured this love into me, and I didn't know that the love you were pouring into me in 1989 and 90 and 91 was going to matter when my kids hold me and say, Daddy, I love you. It's going to be okay, Daddy. My kids were consoling me. I was driving down the street. What is it like to see your woman with her new man, holding hands, looking up, and she was smiling at him, and I was thinking it hit me in my fucking heart. She used to look at me like that. She used to smile at me like that. She used to smile at me like that. My daughter says, it's going to be okay, Daddy. It's going to be okay. And I said, why me? Because God's like, it's always going to happen, man. Through the pain and through the experience, there's always going to be an opportunity for me to carry the message to someone, enrich someone else's life, share my experience, strength, and hope with them, and give them courage to be able to walk through it. This is what Narcotics Anonymous is all about. This is what the steps are all about. You could dress it up all you want, man, but if you ain't on the love part of this, if you ain't dialed into the power of love, if you aren't dialed into the love of one another, man, you're missing the boat. You're missing what's happening here. My sponsor said, just keep trudging. And that forgiveness is incredible. Still to this day, my kids have never heard me curse their mama. To this day, my kids have never heard me talk bad about my mom. We co-parent incredibly. The divorce is final. And you know what happened? Because of the way I acted. And I know it. I know because of the way I acted. Because I know I would let go and I would go to Rick. And I would go to my guys. And we would play dominoes till 2 o'clock in the morning. And they'd be like, man, I'm tired. And I'd be like, one more game. Let me just play one more game because I didn't want to go home alone. I didn't want to be like the just for tonight was killing me. I didn't want to go home alone, and I would ask my guys, let's play one more game. They'd be like, all right, bet, let's play one more game. And they knew they were just loving me. Rick was just loving me. He was just loving me. He was just telling me it's going to be okay, right? And sometimes the best thing for our wounds is just time, right? And the people loving us and holding us and doing that, right? And because of that, look, man, everything is literally perfect. We have an unbelievable relationship. Our kids cross homes like it's nothing. I've got keys to her house. She's got keys to my house. Her new man is cool. I don't care. Like, that's her problem. Like, God has given me a bigger purpose, and I can lean into that. Like, the freedom from that is way greater than the anxiety of trying to hang on to something. Mike, I got to... If you're a sponsor, tell the truth to your sponsees. Ralph said, why the hell you want to love someone who doesn't love you? Damn. That makes sense, right? It makes sense. Let it go. Listen, Narcotics Anonymous, Washington, D.C., this fellowship, my friends, my people, my sponsor, everyone, man, like, this is just such an overwhelming experience to be here with you. I love you. Thank you so much.